Pinkston Communications notes, after the recent midterms, Elizabeth Warren claimed abortion is a kitchen table issue that is central to both health and economic security, end quote. On the contrary, Chelsea Yuman, a pro-life advocate and leader at Human Coalition Action, writes in a recent op-ed, quote, amid a downturn, one industry is thriving. Its commodity is women in need. That women often seek abortions for economic reasons. This is statistically substantiated as higher abortion rates are tied to economic depressions and recessions, as well as to lower income levels, end quote. We're going to talk about this right now, abortion and the elections and the abortion as an economic issue, with Chelsea Yuman of the Human Coalition Action Group. And Chelsea, it's great to have you back on the program. Thanks for joining us.
Always a pleasure. Thanks for covering this important issue.
Sure. Okay, so what do we mean by abortion as an economic issue? It's obviously different than, say, what Elizabeth Warren, who is very much pro-abortion, what she means by abortion as an economic issue.
Yes, I mean, I think we can all agree that when women are in economically unstable environments, the statistics speak for themselves. Abortion rates are higher. COVID pandemic was a prime, most recent example of that. Prior to COVID, abortion rates were really at record lows after Roe. But during the COVID pandemic, women lost their jobs. They maybe had trouble having affordable housing. There's a housing crisis right now. They often have more than one child. They're already working and struggling to feed. And all of that culminates in higher abortion rates during economic downturns. And so those two things are related, but there's only really one industry that we find that thrives during economic downturns, and that's the abortion industry. They prey on these women. We know that over 80% of Planned Parenthoods are within walking distance to minority and impoverished communities, and that's on purpose. They take advantage of these women and kill their children during their most dire time of need. And really, my publication was meant to highlight that terrible fact.
Okay, what would you say to somebody who says, hey, you don't know my circumstances. I find myself in this unwanted pregnancy and I can't afford my bills. And so, I see, okay, I can pay this for this abortion. Boom, problem solved. And then I move on and my economic problems aren't as bad as they would be if I had a baby that I can't afford. What would you say?
Right. Well, there's a couple answers there. The first is that women have options, more options than maybe they've ever had in history. There are 2,600 pregnancy resource centers that stand ready to care for women in this moment. And that's just one type of charitable organization. And so there's a giant infrastructure in place. Many states have moved towards programs designed for pregnant women in need. Texas is a prime example, with $100 million dedicated to pregnant women in need. And that they're served by charitable nonprofits in their communities. So there are lots of options out there. There's lots of care out there. None of that even includes the church and the body of Christ, who comes alongside women and neighbors to help get them on their feet. The goal of all of that assistance, of course, is a path to independence for her. And when we at Human Coalition, we serve hundreds of thousands of women in our history seeking abortion. And the most important statistic I'll tell you today is that 76% of women seeking abortion tell us they'd prefer to parent if their circumstances were different. They'd actually rather keep their children. And that's, of course, consistent with what we know to be true for women who are pregnant. They just need a little extra help, and help is out there and available.
And how do they find that?
Yes, well, they can go to humancoalition.org. They can contact us there. They can Google pregnancy resource centers or pregnancy resources, and local resources will pop up for them. There's just so much care readily available, but that does lend towards the second part of this equation, which I think is important to highlight. And that's the fact that, if abortion was going to resolve poverty, we would have seen that. They had, over 50 years to resolve poverty through that way. There's been no indication that having an abortion actually helps a woman, helps her get on her feet. It's certainly a short-term solution, if you could call it even a solution. But she returns home from the abortion clinic exactly back to the same set of circumstances that brought her in. And so the second thing is to encourage women that it's not a solution at all. Getting her on her feet, helping her get a job, helping her get affordable housing, maybe even a transportation to her job. Those are long-term solutions and better, more holistic solutions for a society that really shouldn't tolerate ending lives of innocent humans to succeed.
What would you say, Chelsea, to those who would criticize the pro-life centers and say, oh, yeah, they do care for those women until the baby's born. And then after that, they drop them like a hot potato, you know, problem solved, next.
Right. I always have to laugh at that argument because it's just, I mean, we're all entitled to our own opinions, but not our own facts. And the truth is that those nonprofits like ours serving women, will serve women for years. Even women who go on to have abortion for years get served by some of these programs because we want to see her in a better place than when we found her. And so that's just categorically not true. We know that charitable nonprofits, the adoption industry, foster care nonprofits, I mean, there are so many charitable organizations dedicated to caring for women and children and fathers. There are fatherlessness organizations, mentorship organizations, all of that's available. It's just not a very popular talking point.
Since abortion did come up during the recent midterm elections, how about an analysis of how abortion fared in the elections? I mean, there's some people who said, oh, the reason that there wasn't a red wave is because a lot of women rose up and they were for abortion and they voted for the left as opposed to voting for conservative candidates.
Right. I certainly think that we have to look at the local level as well. So, yes, that is a popular thing to say in certain circles. But on the other hand, if you look at governors like Governor Kemp, Governor Abbott, Governor DeSantis as examples, they actually fared much better with higher margins of victory right after passing historic protections for children in the womb. And so I think Republicans are hungry for some red meat, and we're inundated with over $450 million worth of abortion ads for 9 months. Don't forget, the abortion ads started the minute that draft opinion was leaked last March. And so I actually think it's a testament to the commitment of the American people that we fared as well as we did after 9 months and hundreds of millions of dollars of advertising. Not to mention, the liberal media outlets giving free advertisements on the issue after being inundated that much. There are several state elections where Republicans who did the right thing and were outspoken and stuck to protecting life, which is always the right thing to do, no matter what your party affiliation is. Those guys did pretty well. So it just depends how you break it down when you're talking about the midterms.
That's very interesting. And I guess it boils down to the different states as well. For example, my mind, I think of, wow, yeah, you're right. I mean, I live in Florida. The victory in Florida was amazing. It was, God bless. And you live in Texas, right? Is that right?
Right.
Yeah.
That's right.
But then I was thinking about Michigan. Michigan, here you have a governor that, is clearly in favor of abortion. And as I understand it, even abortion up to the moment of birth. And unfortunately, she won re-election.
That's correct. And Michigan is interesting because they spent so many dollars in ads trying to get the constitutional amendment passed and all those things. I mean, depending on where you are, it's certainly a cultural issue. And it's just a good reminder that it's not over. We can't sit back and relax. There's cultural battles to win on this, to remind people that what's going on inside a woman's body is a human life is being created and is growing and maturing. That this is, it's humanity that we're talking about. It isn't a clump of cells. So to sit here and to lean in and say we have growth to do and work to do on the cultural side, of course, the political side, and then for us always on serving women and getting back to the fact that women want to parent. They majority report wanting to parent, and it's on us to enable them and empower them and come alongside them for them to do just that. An abortion is never a solution. It just adds, frankly, to the problem.
Okay, how about some comments? I believe I've asked you about this in the past, but I think it's an issue that just needs to be brought forward because it's so striking, and that is that there's a great increase nowadays of just essentially do-it-yourself abortions through the pills. And mm-hmm. this often, you know, results in just a catastrophic type of situation. For anybody who's seen the movie Unplanned, telling the Abby Johnson story, you know, one of the things that I think got it a higher rating or a rating like R-rated or something like that, or PG-13 or whatever the rating was because they showed a scene where she had an abortion and it was one of these do-it-yourself abortions with the pills. And this is a horrific thing. And yet this is what's happening now in greater numbers since a lot of these clinics are closing down.
Yes, that's absolutely true. You know, the best kept secret is that the pill is not, they tell the women that the pill is as safe as taking an aspirin. And we know that she has a 500% higher likelihood of going to the ER from taking the abortion pill than having a surgical abortion. So the pill has been fast-tracked by the FDA for 30 years. They're getting sued for that, by the way, and it's putting women in harm's way and in danger. Women are also able to order the pill, again, without sonograms internationally. So the pills are filled from pharmacies in India and shipped straight to her door. No FDA approval there. We don't know what's in them. And the truth is we have women calling our clinics. We have these conversations with them saying, I have no instructions. And we beg them, get a sonogram. You don't know what's in these pills. Know how far along you are. And in one case, one of the women who did come in and get a sonogram, she was ectopic. If she had taken those pills she had in hand, she could have died. And so very serious problems here. And again, just in an effort to push forward abortion, I think the left is showing their hand and showing how extreme they are and how willing they are to put women in harm's way. And we're here to say, no, let's slow those races there. Let's put in the right protections for women and protect them from really terrible outcomes. Even the mental health outcomes are starting to come out and be recorded from taking the pill. High levels of PTSD, trauma, depression, et cetera. So those are all things we want to highlight and make sure that the world knows that abortion is not this grand solution. Abortion hurts women too.
That's a post-traumatic stress disorder. You also made a reference that I think it would be good to clarify, but I forgot what it was. But bottom line is that the pills are actually, you talked about the ectopic situation. Can you explain that?
Yes. So if a woman has an ectopic pregnancy, which means that the pregnancy is not in her uterine lining, it's somewhere else in her body, it can actually rupture and be very dangerous if she takes the pill. There's risk of death and hemorrhaging. And so that happens frequently throughout pregnancies. That is something that is treated and treatable, but she has to go through a sonogram first and know what she's getting into. And so we just want women to be aware that it's not as easy as taking an aspirin, as Planned Parenthood, allegedly says. And we've got to be careful with this pill. There are serious ramifications that can happen.
You know, it's so amazing, you know, when I think about Elizabeth Warren claiming that these Christian pro-life pregnancy centers are doing real harm to women. She said that, and yet it seems like the exact opposite is true. It's like what Isaiah says, woe to those who call evil good and good evil. And we have about a half a minute or a minute left till you finish on this point.
Yeah, I think it's laughable. I mean, everybody knows for decades, the entire pro-life movement is founded on this concept of loving and caring for women. That's how the Pregnancy Resource Center movement started. And in decades of building nonprofit care for her, to help her get a path to independence and choose life, ultimately, you know, it's resulted in 2,700 pregnancy centers nationwide. And our numbers speak for themselves. Women who leave our clinics report, we ask all of them, how did you feel about your experience with us? And 97% say they felt cared for and would refer us to a friend. So we're going to go with our clients and what they have to say about care for them.
Okay. Well, thank you so much for being with us. I'll give you a website. It is HUCOAction.org. That's HUCOAction.org. All one word. Chelsea Heumann. Thank you, Chelsea. All the best. God bless.
Thank you.